Jane Nofke. I'm going to move this right along with these introductions. They're going to be short, sweet, and to the point. Both of Jane's grandfathers were Finnish homesteaders north of Brule, Wisconsin. Within 5 miles of her home on the original homestead of her paternal grandfather lived 22 uncles, aunts, and countless cousins. She often recalls her childhood experiences in her writing. Jane.
But this is an adult experience. I wrote a story about my mother's cat. My mother had a cat named Eric. He was a long-haired gray tabby with one snaggle tooth hanging over his lower lip. He had an accusing yellow stare, too, that said, "I don't like you, and I never will." He almost never sheathed his claws, so you could hear him coming as they stuck in the carpet, and he pulled them out with annoying pops and rips. My mother loved him because he had had a difficult childhood and because he slept on her bed and purred. He made life in their senior apartment less lonely after she left the farm, but he annoyed her too. He was a finicky eater. Her refrigerator and countertops were crowded with aromatic, half-empty cat food cans, carelessly covered with rumpled, used and reused pieces of tin foil. She was always on the lookout for a new brand or flavor that might tempt him, and he would occasionally gobble a new one with apparent enthusiasm, to trick her, I think, into buying more. The second time he would sniff, turn up his nose, and yowl like the poor, starving cat he was. This yowling was his great talent. His was a particularly piercing one, especially as he stalked the apartment in the darkest hours of night. He had no excuse for this either, since he'd been fixed years before. I am both a cat lover and a nonviolent person. Eric, however, taught me what I am really made of. I was trying to get a good night's sleep on the sofa bed in Mother's living room in preparation for my 350-mile drive back to Madison in the morning. This was before I learned about books on tape, and staying alert during this drive was a challenge for me. Eric picked this night to stalk and yowl. He roamed the apartment screaming. Mother snored loudly in the bedroom undisturbed. It went on and on and on. 1 hour, 2, 3. Suddenly I knew the truth. I was capable of murder. If I had a weapon, I thought, I could kill that cat right now. And even after all these years, I know that's true. My brother told me a story later of a night he spent on that same sofa wishing for a shovel, which at the time seemed to him like the perfect murder weapon. As the years passed, Mother was more and more handicapped by rheumatoid arthritis. Her balance deteriorated. Eric had always taken the prize for the tightest figure eights around human ankles, so in his old age, she became more and more of a hazard to her. Finally, when she was at Duluth Hospital for a hip replacement, she told my sister Christy and me that it was time to have Eric put to sleep. "Please take him to the vet," she said, "and stay with him until it's over. I don't want him to die alone." Ever the penny pincher, Christy decided that we must take the cat to Ashland, where she knew a vet who worked cheap. When we arrived at the vet's office, he was there alone. Just a few feet from the intake desk, he was spaying a cat. His latex-gloved hands wielding his latex-gloved hands wielding his instruments quite efficiently and without assistance. "Sure," he said, "he could euthanize the cat, but it would be a while. If we wanted to be present, we should come back in an hour or so." By this time, we were 70 miles from Duluth and had other errands to run before we returned to the hospital where Mother was waiting for us. We left Eric behind, still breathing, probably dreaming about gourmet cat food. Outside, Christy said in dismay, "What are we going to tell Mother?" Here, thanks to Eric, I learned another lesson about my true colors. We are going to lie, I said. Back at the hospital, my teary-eyed mother asked me to describe Eric's end. And I did, in great detail. How we petted him and told him goodbye as the vet injected him. How he died in our arms. How peaceful was the scene in the quiet examination room. Tears rolled down her cheeks, but she wasn't heartbroken. It had been necessary after all, and we had been with him at the end.
Cats aren't the only grown-up thing that Jane writes about. This past Monday, I had a doctor's appointment, and I showed up about 5 minutes late for our meeting. And the room was filled with raucous laughter, and they said, Dick, you should have been here. Jane just read us the funniest story about sex. And I still don't know what it was about, but I know it was funny.